Everybody doing here today? Good. I was gonna do that thing, you know, where I do it sometimes, and I where they say like good morning, and then you say good morning back, and then I say, is that all you got or whatever? And then I read something the other day. It was like, you know, those people who do that, they're the worst type of people. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna give that a rest here for a couple weeks. But anywho, right. As always, we've got birthdays. Phyllis Hall on the 19th, so wish them a happy birthday. And then anniversary coming up, we've got Todd and Heidi Rhodes. It's their 20th. Is it their 23rd or is it on the 23rd? On the 23rd, okay. And then if you look up, well, it was up there, the 2024 Women's Christmas invitation to Christmas. It will be this Saturday, or not this Saturday, but it's on Saturday, December 7th at 11 a.m., and it's at New Life Fellowship. The address is on there, and this year's decoration and lunches are provided. And if you want to join this, if you want to be part of this, go ahead and get in contact with Lori Toth, and her number is on there now. It's updated. So they're on the back counter, I think, the sheets. So if you want to be a part of that, go ahead and reach out to Lori. And then it's still Harlan, our month for Harlan Christian Youth Center. So go ahead, anything you can bring back where LZ's standing roughly is where you can put all that stuff, juice boxes, any other snacks. And let's see what else we've got here. Yeah, okay, winter is approaching. Thermostats have been set at 65 degrees to lower our utility costs, so please dress appropriately. I run warm, so it's okay with me. Jess hates it. We keep our house at 62, and that's, I have to have that to sleep, and she's wearing a hoodie, sweatpants, a heated blanket, so she's a sweetie for that. But yeah, it's serious. And then real quick, I guess I just wanted to say I had finished seminary a little while ago, but the diploma had just come in the mail. And I just wanted to thank Pastor Mike for being a part of that. Just all of you, Calvary, giving me a great church to be at where I'm able to. Yeah, thanks, guys. Really. But yes, I just want to thank you guys, and especially thank Pastor Mike. He didn't have to at the beginning of all this. I don't know if I share this or not, but I'm going to. He gave me some money out of his pocket that he didn't have to help me pay. So I just officially really wanted to thank you and all you've done for me, Pastor Mike. So I love you. Yeah, you need it back, right? But okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer here. Dear God, we come to you in prayer this morning, and just piggybacking off what I just said, God, I thank you for giving us a great pastor who loves you with all his heart, and I thank you for giving us a great church where the members here love you with all their heart. You know, that's the most important thing I think you can have in a body is people who want to serve you earnestly. And so I thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this place, God, and as we continue to move forward with the potential of a merger on the rise, God, we just pray and ask that you would give us wisdom and guidance and discernment as to do what is best for your kingdom, God. If a merger be it, then we pray that you would lead us in that direction. If it not be it, we pray that you would lead us not in that direction, but we just pray, God, that whatever decision is made on this very important one, that we would make the one that would best serve your kingdom, God. And we just pray for a great worship here this morning, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Invited to stand.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the heart.
Father, we just thank you this morning for bringing us together here to sing, to worship you, to lift our voices and our hearts to you today, Father. We pray for each and every person that's here this morning, a special blessing upon them. We pray a blessing upon Pastor Mike as you speak through him this morning with a message for each of us. We ask that as we give this offering this morning, Father, we're reminded of how generously you've given to us, and we ask that you take this blessing and magnify it, multiply it, and glorify it. Make it suitable to meet our needs and yours, Father, as we try to build your kingdom here in Calvary Baptist. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, glories of one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 starts out with this word, rejoice sometimes. Rejoice evermore. Pray occasionally. No. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. When the guy cuts you off in the parking lot, just about tears the guy. Yes, even in that. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, for your willingness to come and enter this sin-sick body, this person, and lift us up. Give us instruction. Love us. Draw us unto yourself. And then, Lord, to send us out as royal ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a privilege. Lord, we know we live in a dangerous world. And so we're praying that you would be with those that are in some of these terrible, dangerous places who are lifting up the name of Christ, who are carrying out your mission, who are starting Bible studies, who are passing out Bibles, who are teaching and preaching, who are singing your praises. Be with them, Lord. Help us, your people, to say amen. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. For it's in this marvelous and wonderful name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you, are you thankful no matter what? I suspect that that's probably a very hard question to answer affirmatively. We might say we're thankful most of the time. Or when something happens even and reminds us of that, then something that is untoward happens to us, then we can be thankful because we just said, Lord, I'm going to be thankful and everything, and then boom, here's your opportunity. So sometimes we actually are doing what we should be doing, but lots of times we're just following along, clunking along, like an old jalopy that's out of time and you got a wheel bent and the seat doesn't want to go back all the way and all these cranky things happen to us. But we're supposed to be thankful. Now here's a story of a man, you may have heard of him, who had every right to be bitter, but he was not. the next footsteps that might have been coming down that corridor in that prison, Paul knew meant that guards were coming to take him to be killed. He was unjustly imprisoned. He was facing an unknown future. But instead of becoming sad or bitter or cursing the darkness, he decided to write a letter of praise. He said to himself, the Holy Spirit guided him, my people need encouragement. Paul, take up the pen and give encouragement and give thanksgiving. And we're still reading it today. Amen. Well, who was that man? Of course it was the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. You say, well, of course Paul could do that. He was the greatest missionary the world ever seen. He was the most profoundly saved, sanctified, and set apart man you ever thought about knowing. Yes, all that's true, yet he's just like me and you. Just like us. Even in the midst of everydayness, the Apostle Paul was the Apostle Paul. Even in the midst of our everydayness, we're still who we are, and God expects us to be who he wants us to be as royal ambassadors for him. Boy, that's a high calling. It's a high calling. And so even in the midst of trials, Paul wrote this letter, and it's talking about being inspired. He's wanting to inspire us. He's not worried about himself. He's wanting to encourage us. Friends, we all, I don't care who you are, we all need encouragement. That's all there is to it. And I don't want us to forget that we are to be encouragers as well. Paul, the great example of an encourager, of somebody who would write a spiritual letter of encouragement, all those things. But we too need to be encouragers. Being a sad sack is easy. Being a worry wart is troublesome and it's taxing and it breaks us down, but we fall right into that. Now listen, let me confess. I have to fight to be optimistic. I really do. There's a kind of a little song that great wisdom. You might have heard it. Kind of goes like this: gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Those are grains of wisdom that you learn on that great evangelistic show called Hee Haw. Well, that makes you smile, and I'm glad for that. Because we need to smile, and we need to recognize we all are traveling the same road. Some days it's this way, some days it's that way, sometimes it's rumbly, 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 sometimes it's smooth sailing. Sometimes there's just marvelous and wonderful joy, it's unspeakable. But not every day. Not every day. And the great Apostle Paul wrote this letter, the Philippians, but he also wrote Ephesians, didn't he? In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, seeing then that we need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Then what did he say? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is to us. We need to understand that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, my dad could drink beer. His brother could drink beer all day long. And I don't know if they ever got tipsy, but my dad was sitting there with my Uncle Merle and we're having a barbecue or something like that. And, you know, these glass, and you pour the beer in there. Doesn't that look cool? It's gold, it's bubbly, and all that kind of stuff. It must be good, right? So I said, Dad, can I have a try that? And Uncle Merle said, my dad said, no. And Uncle Merle said, let him try it. And so my dad reluctantly, and I, luckily we're standing outside and went over to the side and spit. And I thought to myself, you drink this voluntarily? What is this deal? You know, but you have to get accustomed to that. I wasn't accustomed to that. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I was feeling sorry for myself, I'm sure. My roommate was not there. He was down in Pensacola having a great time. My friend Frank Bisante was not there. Dean, my other good friend, he was not there. I was all by myself. And I thought to myself, I'm going to go over to the BX and buy a six-pack of beer and just get drunk. Everybody else does it. It must be fun, right? So I went over there and got some beer. And I didn't, you know, I'm not educated on some of this stuff. It's probably better to drink cold beer than hot. I don't know. Because that was, so I drank some. Matter of fact, I drank that six or eight pack or whatever it comes in, something like that. And I ate popcorn. Drank some beer and ate popcorn. Watched a TV set probably as big as this pulpit, and the picture was, it was supposed to be a football game, and it was Alabama playing somebody. But so I'm watching the TV, and I'm drinking that stuff. And I don't know what happened exactly. That's because, you know, when you get under the influence of alcohol, you begin to lose control of your, not only yourself, but your thoughts and all those kind of things. And so the next thing I realized that was going on was my roommate, Bob Newsom, had me by my foot. And he was pulling on my foot. And I don't know why Bob was pulling on my foot, because he couldn't get me out of there because I was in jail. Yeah. I was on the floor. I was looking out through the bottom of my bunk bed to those bars, and I had a hold of those bars, and I thought I was in jail. How I got in jail, I don't know, but I thought that's where I was at. And so I grabbed a hold of them, and I was holding on to it, and Bob was saying, let go of the bars, let go. And I was still holding on. And so his friend that was with him said, Bob, grab his feet. And so he came around and started prying my hands loose from the bars, and they drug me out. And Bob said, you're drunk. You stink. You're drunk. I thought, well, I didn't know I would stink. But, okay. Yeah. He said, get in bed. Go to sleep. Sleep that off. So he left. I did get in bed. And I don't know. I guess because I had managed to go to Chow that afternoon at 5:30 or whatever it was, and they had, what's that rice stuff they pour, chicken chow mein or something on top of it, whatever, something like that. And I like two drinks, basically. Milk. I'm only 76. I still haven't been weaned. I love milk, and I like Coca-Cola. So I had went to Chow, and it was chicken chow mein. I got my normal four glasses of milk. I should have realized it was something quite not right, because when I went over there, they wouldn't let me in. The guy says, you've got to have shoes and a shirt. What? So I went back and found some shoes and shirt. I went back, and I ate three heaping bowls of chicken chow mein or whatever it is. And probably my normal 4 to 6 glasses of milk. And then I came back to my room. I don't know how I got back there, but I came back to my room somewhere along the line. And then, somewhere along the line, I found myself in the shower. Somebody had puked all over that shower. Chicken chow mein. Everywhere. This was probably about 4 o'clock in the morning now. It was ripe by then. Oh, it smelled. Matter of fact, I started gagging when I woke up because it was such a stinking mess. And the first thought that came to my mind was, who did this? Oh, I guess it's me. I hope that never happened to you. But guess what? It was a cure-all. I thought to myself, if this is what this is supposed to be, and this is supposed to be fun, I don't need this kind of fun. I'm stupider than a box of rocks, but I ain't that stupid. So that was it. That was all. And you know what? It doesn't let go of you that easy. I felt terrible all the next day. I felt terrible all the next day. And then Monday morning when I went to work, I felt terrible that day. I think I stunk and was terrible for 3 or 4 days. Matter of fact, my sergeant asked me that afternoon, we're in Florida, so it started getting warm about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He asked me, Harris, did you put on clean clothes this morning? Well, I think so. He said, well, you stink. I said, what? He says, yeah, you stink. He said, go back to the barracks, get a shower or something. Put a fresh shirt on or something. You stink. And so then I went back to the barracks, and I pulled off my T-shirt. And when I pulled off my, you know how you do it? Over your head? So you're encapsulated for a few minutes? I stunk. Oh, my goodness. I had puked all over myself, and I just put clothes on and went on, you know. Listen, gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's what I felt. Paul said, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess. But he says there's something else. That's the negative part. What's the positive part? But be filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, I've always regretted that vomiting, terrible, junky, drunk. But I've never, never felt sorry for being in the very center of God's will and God blessing your life. He always does more than you ever think. He'll get you out of something that you don't need to be in to begin with, and he will not say anything, but, you know, like, he'll just set you up, clean you up, and send you out again. Paul says, listen, don't be drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a merriment and a commissioning power of the Spirit of God. It's not phony. It doesn't stink. It's catching, actually. Speaking to yourself, he says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks, what? Always. For what? All things. Unto God, the Father, in the name of who? The highest name under heaven. The name of the Lord Jesus. That's what God says to us. This is the way for happiness. This is the way for fulfillment. This is the way for a life that you don't have to go around apologizing for. It's a life you don't have to walk into the room and everybody go like, No. It's a life of joy and peace and direction walking with the Spirit of God. Did Paul really mean that? Giving thanks for everything, no matter what the circumstances? I think he does. I think he did. I think it still applies. You know, we're coming upon what we call the days of National Thanksgiving. And we as Americans think of Thanksgiving. And when we think of Thanksgiving, we think of pilgrims. 1621 or something like that, Plymouth Rock and all that. Of course, that's been about 403 years ago. That the pilgrims celebrated Thanksgiving. And if you go back and do a little research on that, you'll wonder why they did. It's colder than blue blazes. They've just barely been able to put up some kind of shelters and things like that. Their crops failed and all kinds of things like that. There wasn't much to be thankful for, I don't think. But what little bit they had, and thanks to some the Indians, they got a little bit more, they were thankful. We can be thankful in all things if we just think about it for a while. That's how it is But we have to take our eyes off ourselves, off our problems, off of the things we don't have, and put our eyes on the Lord and think about the things that we do have, and think about the things that He's given us, and think about the things He encourages us every day. Every day. I think we should be living that kind of life. Don't forget the blessing. If you count your blessings, you'll see a different subject. God is showering us with those blessings every day. Even though you're facing some of the hardships and difficulties you never faced in your whole life, it's a blessing. Perhaps in the summer, you have air conditioning. You keep your house at a nice, pleasant temperature. Perhaps in the winter, you change it over to the heating system and you keep your house at a very pleasant, warm temperature. Perhaps when I walk into our house, first thing is there's the coat closet and steps and all that kind of stuff. And the next thing I see as I come into is the kitchen. And here's the stove over here. But right in front of my eyes is the refrigerator. And I open that refrigerator and I think, hey, there's some leftover chicken from last night. I don't think I want that. Oh, hey, there's four pieces of bacon here that Grayson didn't cook. So I'm going to pull that bacon out and put it in the skillet and warm it up a little bit. And so I'm going to have a bacon sandwich. Anybody like bacon sandwiches? I like bacon sandwiches. I'm going to eat some bacon. Wait a second. There's some orange juice in here. My wife's an orange juice person. She thinks we need to be healthy. And drink some orange juice. Eat a bacon sandwich. We have much to be thankful for. Much to be thankful for. Anyone who's willing to thank the Lord Jesus for the things that He's been blessed with will never regret that. And today I want us to think about how to push back troubles and thinking of trials that are coming our way and then move towards leaning upon the love of God and His will for us. He's good always. Sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes it's difficult, but He's good always. Brothers and sisters, God may not take our trials away from us, but according to the Word of God, God, who cannot lie, will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll go with us. He'll go with us. Friends, we all have been around people who are grumpy people. If you would ask my wife, she would say, "That's you. You're grumpy. You're grumpy. You squawk about this and you squawk about that. You go to the refrigerator, and who ate my sandwich?" Or something of that nature. Listen, nothing suits us. If you had a brand new, I'll do this one. If you had a brand new Corvette sitting out there in the parking lot, you just had a couple of days, and you walked out there this afternoon, and you looked at it, and you'd say to yourself, "Boy, this car's dirty. I need to go down to the washeria and get this thing washed." We're never happy. We're never happy because material things can never make us happy. We think they can, and of course, it is something that's necessary that we have some food and substance and all those kind of things. It's a good thing to be able to take a shower, a warm shower. It's a good thing to put some clean clothes on and all those kinds of things are wonderful, but they're just extraneous to us. Nothing can make us happy in things, but in Jesus, we can be happy in all things. And if we learn does not gripe and complain, my cares, please learn that lesson. We can be happy and thankful in everything. You know, Mark Twain had this famous quote, "It's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. He says it's the parts I do understand that bother me. You know, there's a high standard here. How do we give thanks in everything? Well, let's not forget, if we ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us our sin, he comes into our life, he forgives our sin, sets a new Holy Spirit inside us, and so we're no longer on Satan's team. Now we've shifted to the Christ team. And in football season, if you're on Jesus' team, then you're going to be a winner. Elsie's Ohio State guy. He's got me watching Ohio State. I root for him now myself. They have a great winning record, don't they? I always thought to myself, I forget who it was, but you know, in Alabama, there is another school like that. Does anybody know what it was? It's the University of Alabama. Bear Bryant made Alabama a football school. And I remember that they were going to play Ohio State. And what was the coach that whacked somebody running down the sideline from Ohio State there, Elsie? Can you remember what his name was? Woody Hayes or something like that? Yeah. And so a couple of my buddies, we were going to watch this big, huge, fuzzy TV set. And one of them said, well, it's a shame to have Alabama play Ohio State, because Ohio State is a powerhouse football university. And I thought to myself, where are you from, buddy? He said, well, Ohio, of course. I said, well, listen, don't go 25 miles up directly north of here, because you're going to get in Alabama, and you're going to find out what? That Alabama is a powerhouse football team. Well, listen, the University of Cincinnati is never expected to beat Ohio State, is it? In the last 15 years, Ohio State, the University of Cincinnati must be misogynistic or something, because Ohio has beat them 15 out of 17 times. But wait. 15 out of 17. So you know what? That means they won two. In beating Ohio State, Cincinnati can revel in victory two times. We beat the best university football in this state two times. You know, we have things upside down. Yes, that's great. In Jesus, we're always winners. It may be suffering, and it may be something we don't want, but the outcome is we win. We win. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. I've thought about it many, many times. Can you imagine one of these days you're going to step from life into life everlasting? And what is that going to be? Of course, that song, I Can Only Imagine, you know. Woo. I can only imagine. Wow. All regrets, you know, sometimes we think of all those kind of things. People say, well, when I get to see Jesus, I'm going to ask him this and that. No, you're not. You'll know even as you're known. It's all going to make perfect sense. All those things that you had to deal with, had to struggle with, and all those kind of things, if those things came to you, they had to come through the hands of Jesus. They are meant for your good, because he cannot mean bad for you. They were meant for your good. But you say, well, we're not playing football. Well, no, that's true. But we are on the Jesus team. And Jesus never loses. He has defeated death, hell, and the grave. What else could we fear? When we ask Jesus to come into our life and be our Savior and our Lord, you switched teams. Jesus over and over and over again in the Scripture tells us many ways and many ways that we have become victors in Christ Jesus. John in Revelation 1:18 says about the Lord Jesus. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for a couple of days. Forevermore. What? Forevermore. What was it? Amen. He's alive forevermore. Amen. And we have, he has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. We're on the winning side, friends. Romans, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, but it's a gift of God. You don't deserve it. A gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God holds nothing back. Gives it all. John 3:16, you recognize that verse. For God so what loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that what? Whosoever. Are you a whosoever? That's anybody. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wow. I have been around people who have died, and there is kind of a range of that. There is kind of a nervousness, a clinging to life because they're afraid, because it's an unknown. And then there is a peace. I think that this is the way it's supposed to be working, the way we think it should be working. The pastor comes to meet with you and pray with you because you're dying. And so he's coming to give you the good word and all those kind of things and pray with you. Okay? But you know what really happens? If that person's a Christian, the pastor's coming and he gets encouraged. He gets lifted up. I've had that happen. The person prayed for me. Now, they knew something that I needed it, that's for sure. Because they don't need it anymore. They're going on to glory. I'm staying here. Lord, help him. He's weak. He's a jerk. Lift him up. Use him a little bit. Be with him. Man, I'll tell you. Unfortunately, lost people, they don't see God's mighty hand at work in anything. Why? They're blind. They can't see. The world cannot see Christ. They will never see Christ until they surrender their life to Christ. They will never understand the scripture. They will never understand those, what we call the mighty works of Jesus. They'll never understand those. They always have a question. They always have, oh, that don't sound right to me. The only thing, what has to happen is you got to take this old sinful mindset out and replace it with a spiritual mindset out. And then, oh, wow, woohoo, unbelievable. That's why in Christ Jesus, we're elevated. We become part of the body of Christ. We become part of this church of the living God. And we should be thankful. You know, the other day, the wife and I had privilege to go to the Gideon meeting. I've always enjoyed the Gideon meetings. They always invite the pastors, things like that. So they did, invited us. And it was just the same as always. Pleasant surroundings and all this kind of stuff. But then they began to tell us what the work was going on. Wow. They have about 100,000 Bibles here. They've got, somehow or another, they got it into that country that says you can't have a Bible here, you can't speak the name of Jesus. They're still there. They're still doing it. They're still winning people to Jesus. They can't be stopped. And when they tell you about that, a living example, I was there, I did this, and this, and this, and this is what God did. And so we heard about all those exciting things that they were doing worldwide. I left there invigorated. I left there uplifted. I left there with thanksgiving that I have a small part in what they're doing. We should feel the same thing about the spirit and the life of God's holy church, which we are a member of. We should be thankful. We should be exuberant. We should never be getting up on Sunday morning going, oh gosh, oh my goodness, I don't know if I want to go today. I don't think the preacher's had anything to say for months. You know, sometimes that's probably true, but that doesn't really relieve us of our responsibility to worship in spirit and truth, does it? Jeremiah 29:11 says, some of you are going to know this verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That's a great verse. I've probably read it many times, but it's become one of my favorite verses because it became this young lady's favorite verse. And they burned her up with radiation. And still, they did not extinguish that spirit. And I had the privilege, and I don't know if these people knew what was going on there, but there were a meeting. And so they were going down the hall. Come on, come on. Meeting's just a few minutes. Yes, get on there. I don't know if they thought I was, some kind of employee or something. So I go there, and there's four doctors in there, and there's about 15 staff in there. And they're talking, the doctors are talking. Telling them the importance of what they're doing, all those kind of things. And then this one doctor says, "I met a lady just a couple of weeks ago. She was dying of cancer. We'd done everything we knew how to do, but couldn't do a thing about it." He said, "But when I went, listen to what he said. When I went in her room, she touched me. She gave me encouragement. She lifted me up." And then, miracle, miracles. And he said, that young lady's name was Diane Mann. Hey, I know her too. There was 15 or 20 people in there, several doctors, and I guess it was a staff meeting. I don't know what you call it. I don't know how I got in there. Obviously, I look like a doctor, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I thought to myself, isn't that amazing? Here's this guy who probably is a great doctor and has dealt with many, many people, yet she impacted his life. Parting shot. Hey, Doc, get it right, buddy. Get it right. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I do some things called funerals every now and then. And I try to do what the family wants me to do. But I never leave that verse out. Never. Why? It's powerful. It's powerful. There are people there. Some of them, they may know Jesus most assuredly. But there are there, people there who may not. I suspect, don't you, that out of a crowd of 50, 100 people, there's got to be some lost people there. This has to be. This has to be. And Jesus knows and completely understands our situations. I can barely understand anything. But it's wonderful and comforting to me to know that Jesus knows. He knows the right answer. He knows the right direction. He knows what we need and can supply it. Almighty God is always faithful. We don't like hardships. I don't like hardships. I'm sure you don't like hardships either. There ought to be some way that we can get it in a little package or something like that and drink it or eat it or something like that. Bulwarked against hardship. It doesn't work that way, does it? To get bulwarked and strength against hardship, you have to go through them. Who thought of that idea? Oh, Jesus did. Yeah. I think any athlete will tell you that how they got stronger, faster, quicker, jumped higher, all those kind of things, was because they had to exercise. You can't get there without that. And that is not fun. Sometimes it's very, very hard. Very, very hard. Listen, God is faithful. From start to finish. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Remember, John said, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. You just got adopted into the royal house of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Even to them who have weak positions of faith. God will take it and build it and use it. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and have good courage, fear not. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is it that goes with you. He will never fail you, nor will he ever forsake you. His grace is sufficient. His love is unwavering from beginning to end. We're in the circle of the family of faith. And nothing can pluck us out of his hands. We live in an uncertain world and uncertain times. Sometimes we think about things that are going pretty good, and sometimes we think, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. But God is asking us to put all that worldly stuff aside. It really doesn't make any difference who wins the presidency. Because God is God. And if they won, it was by his grace. He's going to do something. And I'm glad that the guy that won. I guarantee you that. I got up 3 o'clock in the morning, went in there. Have they finally decided who did that? You know, God's in charge. The president, he's the president. Secretary of whatever. That. Important, but not eternally important. The eternal part, God keeps to himself. Deals it out on a day-to-day basis through his grace towards us. It's going to be Thanksgiving soon. I don't know how you do those things at your house. Well, we'll probably have a turkey and some stuffing stuff and some gravy and I love mashed potatoes. I could live on mashed potatoes and gravy, I think. Green beans. I don't know what's. It'll be good. But that's not the important thing, is it? That's just table setting. The important thing is, are you thankful in your heart for what God has done with you and through you and for you? And this is once a year that our society even says, are you thankful? Heavenly Father, help us to be thankful. So much going on all around us, so many disappointments, so many tragedies, so much death, so much destruction, but you're in charge. And we want to be thankful people. We want to embrace you and be embraced. We want you to lift us up and open our eyes and strengthen us and help us to walk with you, never, never wavering, so that others too might be drawn to you through our testimony, through our lives, through scripture being passed out, whatever it might be. Lord, you're about this great redemption of mankind. Not just Americans, mankind. And we thank you for that. Lord, I don't know. Maybe someone's here today who's never made that open public profession of faith in Christ. Maybe today, Lord, would be the day that they would step forward and say, I'm thankful for Jesus. Lord, you work as only you can. And we'll give you the opportunity in this moment, quietly, speak to us, strengthen us, redirect us, walk with us. For these things I ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing. I think we have an invitation. If you have something to make public, you come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. If you want to come up here and use this altar as a place to pray, you do that. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about the guy next to you. Do what God says to do and what God's leading you to do.
Take up thy cross and follow me.
This morning. Amen. You might want to turn that right or left and welcome that neighbor here this morning. Shake their hand, maybe. I don't know.